It's the return of the Mats. Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Dan podcast, Sean and Jan and I look at the resurgence of Matthew Stafford and Matt Prater in the win versus the Washington football team. We also discuss the struggles of the defense against the pass. Lastly, Sean and Jan and I take a look at the upcoming game versus the Carolina Panthers. All this and more coming up right now on the Die Hard Dan podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Dan podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
Good evening, good people. As you can tell, Curtis is hyped tonight.
Hey, man, let's get this thing going. I was out last week. Sorry, people, I had to go on the short-term IR. I had some back issues. I really couldn't sit in the chair to bring you the content that we wanted to bring you last week. But I'm back. Feeling better, and it's time to get the show started. Shawnee J, how have you been, my man, since I've been out last week? How's everything going for you?
Everything's going well, man. I really can't complain. I'm happy that we can talk about Lions victory this week.
Hey, that's always good tell. Hey, well, let's get this thing going. You know what we do. It's time to tell me something good. So, from the victory last week, Shawnee J, tell me something good, brother.
Well, I called it. Our man, the other fat Matty P, not Matt Patricia, but Matt Prater, he kicked the game-winning 59-yard field goal, which is not easy. I know these kickers got strong legs, but you still got to be accurate, and it was almost right down the middle. Now, it is 4 yards short of his own personal record he set a few years ago, and he was named the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week for the 12th time in his career. I called it after the game. I posted it in our groups. It was maybe wasn't the it take a brain scientist to figure it out, but you know, I called it first. I'm proud to say a lot of people were down on Matt because he missed some field goals this year, but Matt is still good. He's still money. Okay. It's the second game he won for us this season. He beat Arizona over the last second kick as well. People forget. And he beat Washington, so Matt still got it. Okay, he missed some field goals, but it happens. He hit them when it counts. So I hope Matt can stay, you know, kicking for us for at least 2 more seasons after this.
Hey, man, the congratulations to Matt Prater. He earned it. 3 for 3 for field goals, 3 for 3 for extra points. Good job, my man. And my something good for this week is we weren't here last week. And if you see my hat I have on right now, for those who are watching on YouTube and Facebook, I have on a salute to service cap. It is salute to service month in the NFL. Happy belated Veterans Day to all my brothers and sisters in arms. If you don't know, your man Kurt Steele served 26 years in the Army, and I'm a proud veteran. But so happy Veterans Day to my brothers and sisters in arms, saluting everyone who served and who are currently serving. Thank you for your service. It's time to get into some Lions football. It's the show. It's called Return of the Mats, and it is about the resurgence of Matthew Stafford and Matthew Prater. So it's time to go on the ball. Offense is up first. Let's take a look at our offensive leaders for last week. Matthew Stafford, what a performance. 24 of 33, 276 yards passing with 3 touchdowns. Had the highest quarterback rating in the NFL last week. DeAndre Swift, the young fella, was getting it done in his first start. 16 carries, 81 yards, 4 receptions, 68 yards, and that receiving touchdown was doing his thing. Putting in that work, Marvin Jones was holding it down for Kenny Golladay. 8 receptions, 96 yards, and a touchdown in the wide receiver one role. We had 105 yards rushing, 267 receiving, and 372 yards of offense versus the Washington football team. Shawnee J, how did you feel about how the offense played last week?
I love it. I mean, like I said, we need to put that in the bottle, play it that way every week. Now, a lot of people got down on Matt Stafford, too, as well as Matt Patricia. You know, there are three Matts. So this show is aptly named Return to Matt. You know, people said if the Lions were lost last week, Patricia should have got fired. So it's not him that returned to Matt, too.
Yeah.
And people were down on Prey, like I said, because he missed some field goals. And, of course, they were down on Stafford. You know, trade Stafford. You say, you know, people want to trade Stafford. I mean, he had two bad games against the Colts and the Vikings. But he rebounded nicely against the football team from Washington. You know, they had, a stat before the game. I don't know if you noticed it. They said Alex Smith might be coming against the right team because he's 5-0, lifetime against the Lions.
Yeah, that's right.
In fairness, they also showed a graphic below that Matthew Stafford was 4-0
lifetime
against the football. Make it 5-0.
Now he's 5-0 now,
against the Redskins / football team in his career.
Yep.
So he's owned them pretty much. Yes. I can't. I said this many times before in our group and on our podcast. I can't understand why people are so down on Matthew Stafford. The Lions fans really don't know what they have. They can't truly appreciate what they have until it's gone.
That's very true, my friend. All right, looking at the game overall, Matthew Stafford had another game-winning drive in his career, which he still only trails Matt Ryan out of Atlanta in those game-winning drives since he's been in the league. And what we haven't really mentioned is that, and people don't really know about this stat, but Washington had the highest rating pass defense in the league. They gave the least pass yards per game, a little under 200 yards per game, and Matthew Stafford went for almost 300. The offensive line, with that powerful defensive front, all those first-round draft picks they have on the defensive line, only gave it one sack in the game. That was awesome.
Yes, it was. And Washington, they got called for a couple personal fouls. I'm glad to see Matt get those calls because he took a lot of abuse over his career and didn't even get a call that Tom Brady would get or Aaron Rodgers would get. I'm glad to see Stafford earned those calls. I mean, damn it, he earned it. And they did take one back. I mean, they took a call back against the rookie from Ohio Sox.
He got that one.
In the game,
Shout out to Tyrell Crosby. He did a great job on Chase Young. I mean, Chase Young was a non-factor in that game. You didn't hear his name until he got the penalty at the end of the game. So now looking at some of the stuff we did well, like you said, DeAndre Swift, 149 all-purpose yards with the receiving touchdown, his first start. We'll talk about his status for the game later, but pretty much Daryl Bevel said that it's his job right now. He is going to be the RB1 for the rest of the season if he's healthy going forward. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I love it. I mean, I posted that too. It's time. Remember at the beginning of the season, Swift and Kerryon and Bo Scarborough was on team at the time, all had injuries.
Yeah.
And we want to go into the season with three injured running backs. That's in Washington just released AP. So we signed AP just in time for some insurance. AP got a pretty good start, but he slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
But we may need him these next two games. I'm talking about in Carolina and a Thanksgiving game against Houston. If Swift can't, if he does indeed have a concussion, which we'll talk about later, hope he doesn't. We may need AP to look like the old AP from Vintage Minnesota AP. It'll be great.
Yeah.
It's the time. And we need Kerryon too as well. If Swift is not available for the next two games in 5 days, so that's why you need to have depth. And I wish we could have held on to Bo Scarborough because he played so well for us last year. So disappointed.
Well, we have Williams that came over from the Colts that we signed, and he's back on the active roster. So he's a good addition. He's a hard runner, so he may get some carries if Swift can't go on Sunday. Next up, Marvin Jones is shining, man. Three touchdowns in the last two games. He's really putting in some work. And he had a lot of touchdowns last season. A lot of people don't realize that he was second in the league in touchdown receptions to who? Kenny Golladay last season. So and that was without Matthew Stafford for most of the season. So Marvin Jones is doing his thing. And if you really really know something personal about Marvin Jones, go out on Players Tribune. He has a touching article about how his family dealt with the loss of his son, Marlo, last year. So go out there and check it out, man. It is really good. But he is really balling this year.
Another player that Lions fans want to get rid of, Marvin Jones. What's wrong with Lions fans? Don't they know talent this year?
Well, I think that from the looking at the episode that happened with Golden Tate, they were kind of looking at that situation like he may be one of those pieces that Bob Quinn moves, because that's what Bob Quinn does. He moves on from aging receivers and he kind of ships them out that trade deadline deal. But this year he did not do it. He held on to Marvin Jones, and we are happy that he did that because of the fact that, you know, you have Kenny Galladay going down and we needed him to step up. And you look at the Lions protected Muhammad Sanu this week. So we might see him get elevated to the starting squad this week. You got Dele Amendola, who's going to be maybe down, but we'll talk about that when we do our game preview. So I have a question for you, brother. What do you think causes the Lions offense to sputter when we get a lead?
They get relaxed. I know it's cliche, but they take their foot off the gas. They get too comfortable. They relax. Mm-hmm. Bevel needs to, as you're saying, keep his foot on the gas and drive it like he stole it. I mean, don't let it up. Don't feel sorry for your opponent. Blow them out. Put a 50 spot on them if you can. I mean, keep playing aggressive. Be aggressive. Don't get conservative. Mm-hmm. Like I said, drive it like he stole it. Don't get conservative. Don't get relaxed. Because you see, we blew a 21-point lead. The football team came back and tied us up. But, you know, if the Lions had lost that game, they'd have been so roasted right now.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have been roasted. Patricia will be gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, but thank God Matty Prater saved the day, you know, return of the mat. And, and Stafford only needed 16 seconds to get in position to win the game.
16 seconds to get us in position, man. That's ridiculous, man. Three timeouts. And if you look at the sights and sounds of the game on the Lions YouTube channel and on their page, he said he went up to Bevel before he went on the field. He said 16 seconds. He said overtime, right? He said, nah. And Bevel, he was like, go out there and try to win the game. And, you know, got that penalty fell right. He got that, you know, he got that that nice pass to Marvin Jones right there at the 40 to call a timeout and kick that game with a field goal. And he did this, Matthew Stafford did this with an injured thumb. He has a partially torn ligament in his right thumb. But looks like he's going to be able to play. But, you know, that, you know, it didn't slow him down in the game. He still made some accurate passes. That one touchdown he threw to Marvin Jones was right on the money. His hand was taped up and everything. I just think he probably needed some rest probably yesterday. He practiced today, but I think he needed some rest to kind of like, you know, we don't want to do too much on it. You know, just, you know, play it during the game. You know, he's going to have a lot of time where he's going to have need him in the next couple of games where we play Carolina this week and then Houston on Thanksgiving. So, that's definitely one of the things we want to keep him safe and sound for the next two games in 11 days. So that's some quick turnaround games for him. So you want to keep him, keep that hand doing as least as possible without playing.
Exactly. And yes, Matt, he's still a vet. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't need that much practice. I mean, he's not a rookie. He's a 12-year vet. Okay, yeah. He needs some workout. As long as he can move around, it's not like the week he was cooped up in, you know, COVID. He locked up. He couldn't practice. He couldn't do nothing. Work out. He couldn't run. Throw the football around. Nothing. That was a bad situation. It wouldn't have been so bad to miss practice, but he couldn't even play catch. You know, toss the ball to his receivers and nothing. Yeah.
And the Lions. The Lions had it. You know, that was good. The Lions were able to bring him in, and he was actually able to call some of the audibles and stuff during the practice, where he was calling out the audibles during practice over the over Zoom and stuff. So he was linked into the practice, but it didn't like being there. All right. So that's On the Ball this week. Hey, thank you for watching the show. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, hit the like button, hit the share button, hit the subscribe button, ring the notification bell so you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Den podcast. Follow us on Facebook. Shawnee J, my man, does a great job of keeping you informed on Lions news over on our Facebook page. And if you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, we appreciate the download. Thank you for checking out our content over on Apple or Spotify. And if you have one of those Alexa-powered devices, say, hey, Alexa, play the Die Hard Den podcast on your favorite podcast platform, and she will hook you right up. So, my man, Shawnee J, it is time to defend the den. Let's talk about the defense versus the Washington football team. Jamie Collins doing his thing, putting in work. 13 total tackles, 10 solo. Mr. Romeo Okwara is still getting it. 4 total tackles, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, and a QB hit. Justin Coleman had a quietly effective game. 10 total tackles, 8 solo tackles, and 1 tackle for loss. That's putting in some work for a nickel corner to have that many tackles. 89 yards rushing. Now, here is the big one. We gave up 375 yards passing. That's 464 total yards of offense allowed to the Washington football team. All right, Rick, coming back in, man. What was up with the secondary giving up, besides the sack, 390 passing yards to a player like Alex Smith? Now, he's no bum, but he hasn't played in years. And his first start in forever because of a leg injury, we gave up 390 passing yards. What do you
think? Despite the 2 sacks, which you mentioned, yeah, we need to put more pressure. He still had too much time.
Yeah.
You know, we give too many dink and lob his pass or dink and dunk, mm-hmm, which was annoying. We need to tighten that up. You know, I wish Edlin would go back to the way he played the Jacksonville game. Now, he put pressure on the quarterback. He blitzed.
He
didn't blitz too much because he's with a 4-man rush.
Yeah.
I love, like I said, we need to bow that Jacksonville game up too, mm-hmm, for the defense. We blitz, we put pressure, we gang tackle, we went after the running back with reckless abandon. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got away from that. That's what I wanted to get back to, like that Jacksonville game.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the film, get aggressive like that Jacksonville game again. That's what I want to see next 2 games against teams we should beat in Carolina and Houston on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. All right. So that was the negative. Let's go to some positive. My man, Big Romeo Okwara. Now, coming to the season, everybody thought it was going to be little brother Julian that was going to be putting in that work. But it's been Big Brother Romeo. Currently is a top 5 PFF pressure rusher on their list. He gets pressure 17% of his pass rushes have pressure on the quarterback. He is only behind like J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald and one other guy. So he's like 4th in the league in pressures. What do you think has contributed to his success this season?
He's really worked hard. You know, he's a hard working guy. Remember, mm-hmm, we got him as a free agent, got cut by the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
New York football Giants, some mm-hmm people like to call them.
Yeah.
We got to still, you know, these people talk about the Lions gave away Fulham to the Eagles. Well, the Giants gave away Okur, mm-hmm, a nice defensive end to us. I liked it 2 years ago when we signed him.
Yeah.
I like the other guys, the former Giant, Canaro. He's gone. I wish we could have kept him, but it is what it is. But as far as Okur, the older Okur goes, he works hard. I can tell he works hard. He has a nonstop motor. He gets after the quarterback. He gets after the running back. We may have found us that solid pass rusher. And, of course, Everson Griffin, like I thought, he's helped. You mm-hmm mentioned it before, Griffin did have a sack, and mm-hmm he had 5 hits on the quarterback.
Yep.
But still, even with that, we need to put more pressure because at crucial times, mm-hmm, we couldn't get to Smith.
Yeah, that 5 QB hits is a franchise record for the Detroit Lions.
Me.
Yes, it is. 5 quarterback hits with a sack. He had a deceptively quiet game where, you know, he didn't make a lot of noise, but he made enough. Now, that sack was shared with Reggie Ragland. There was a combined sack. But shout out to Everson Griffin. He really came to play. It wasn't loud, but it was effective during that game. Now, going forward with the defense, one player who's really kind of troubled me this season is Jelani Tavai. Dude has had like a total of 2 tackles the last 2 games. And Davis should be coming off the shelf here soon. Do you think it's time for Davis to rejoin the starting defensive lineup? Because Tavai really is not getting it done.
Absolutely. Jared Davis should be playing. He's a great athlete. We expected big things from him for the season. Mm-hmm. He was in the best shape of his life. I don't know why Patricia is not using him or playing him. Mm-hmm. Patricia likes talents. He also likes Raglan over both our own draft picks, Tavai and Davis. As far as Tavai goes, mm-hmm. I'm going to say real quick, the rotation. Mm-hmm. You know, he likes to retain linebackers in. He don't like this playing 3 guys the whole game. He likes the rotation. Mm-hmm. And that kind of takes you out of rhythm. That's the running back rotation.
Yeah.
A running back, you need one strong running back, mm-hmm. you know, to carry the ball. Because they say running backs get stronger as the game goes on. And same thing for, you know, an offensive line. You can't rotate the offensive line either because they do better when all 5 guys, play continuously, not rotating mm-hmm. a tackle and a guard, you know, like he was doing. And same thing, okay, this linebacker rotation is turning to Tavai. He needs, or Tavai, I always get him mixed up with the big lineman,
Jelani Tavai, yeah.
But he needs to be on the field mm-hmm. if he wants to get better. He has talent.
Yeah.
He has a solid talent that Patricia liked when he drafted him last year. Patricia needs to be consistent mm-hmm. to give him playing time. Keep him out there. Let him sink or swim. Keep him out there. Let him do his thing.
But I think my issue with Jelani Tavai is that he is a foot slow. I mean, that you can definitely time his 40 with an egg timer. That dude is slow. And it just seemed like he's getting slower as he continues to play. And I think we need some of that speed. I think I like Reggie Ragland. He's playing good. He's earned his playing time. But I think Davis has earned his playing time as well. I think he's earned more playing time than Tavai. And speaking of that rotation, there's 2 players that really kind of said that they don't like the rotation in the secondary, which is Jeff Okuda and Amari Arorie. They said they really can't find their rhythm now that the other defensive backs are healthy and they're rotating them in and out. They can't find their rhythm during the game.
Did they say that about Tavai, the linebacker?
No. They said that about themselves. They can't find their footing. They said they can't find their footing in the game. It's kind of hard for them to really adjust because they're coming in and out. So, you know, you're changing packages and you're rotating guys in and out, you know, sometimes it's hard for them to get their rhythm.
Exactly.
Yeah. So last one on the defense, how long do you think that Trey Flowers will be on the shelf? Now he's eligible to come back after this game coming up. Do you think
Thanksgiving?
You think he'll be back? He had that really brace on his kind of arm or wrist or whatever. It was a weird contraption that, you know, kind of wrapped up with like a half cast and a wrap. I hope he can, you know, I hope he recovers soon. But do you think that, you know, I think we really need him going down the stretch, you know?
We do.
Well, you combine him with Okwara and Everson Griffin, you got a nice rotation of the defensive ends. Because Griffin can play both sides. So that's one, you know, injury I'm looking for if the Lions are trying to make a playoff push. That's one thing that could be concerning if we don't have Trey Flowers.
I think that both Flowers and Kenny G will be back for Chicago. Mm-hmm. I think the turnaround for Thanksgiving is too soon. Mm-hmm. I think Patricia thinks he can get by winning without them. He wants, like you say, he wants to stay for the December stretch, like the playoff push. Mm-hmm. Like in baseball, September, where the playoff push in football is December. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to stay those 2 guys if he can for mm-hmm. the playoff push starting at Chicago December 6th.
All right. Hey, that is the Defend the Den. We did that thing. We talked about the defense. Hey, thank you for watching the show. If you're watching the show on YouTube or Facebook, hit the like button, hit the share button, subscribe to our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hey, and ring that notification bell so you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here on the Die Hard Den podcast. Subscribe to our Facebook page, Shawnee J. He holds it down over there, keeping you up to date on what's going on with the Lions. And if you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, We appreciate your downloads. Hey, man, we really, really appreciate that. And if you have an Alexa-powered device, say, hey, Alexa, play the Die Hard Damn podcast on your favorite podcast platform, and she will play it for you right there on that powered device from Amazon. So it is time to get into our favorite game of the show. You know what it is. It's time to say, hell yeah or hell nah. You ready to do this, my man?
Let's do it.
All right. First up, Swift would be a Rookie of the Year candidate if he started sooner. Hell yeah or hell nah.
I would say hell yeah, but I still think once he come back and have a strong finish, he's still going to be a Rookie of the Year candidate. So hell yeah to your original question. He's still going to be one anyway.
Okay, I want to say hell yeah. I think if he would have started sooner, Lions fans were calling him for him to start really around that Jacksonville game. So it took him another 3 weeks to start, but he would have the statistics to be a Rookie of the Year candidate. He's kind of behind the Robinson down there in Jacksonville in the running back position as a candidate because of his yards that he's compiled so far. But good luck to him for the rest of the season. Next up, Stafford will not play on Sunday due to his thumb injury. Hell yeah or hell nah.
Hell no, he's going to play. Stafford or something. He played with worse than you. He's going to play. He's our Brett Favre. He's our Brett Favre 2.0. I'm mentioning the group. He's going to play. He's going to finish this. He's going to ice that baby up. Whatever he got to do, wear a glove, wrap it up like he did in the Washington game. Mm-hmm. But he's going to play.
All right. I'm going to say hell yeah as well. But you know, you got to play devil's advocate. I think he's going to play as well. Next up, Romeo Okwara will have two sacks versus the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. Hell yeah or hell nah.
I can easily say hell yeah on that one because Bridgewater looks like he's not going to play. Their backup quarterback is a guy from the AFL with the AFC, the football league.
He was in the XFL. Yeah, you talking about
PJ.
So he's going to play. And one notable person that's going to be down is Russell Okung. Looks like he's going to be playing. So that's a good thing. He may be able to get that. So I'm going to say hell yeah as well. Now here's a tough one. Next up, the Lions will keep Quinn Trisha if they go 8-8 this season. Hell yeah or hell nah.
I'm going to say hell no because, you mentioned this before. You fired Jim Caldwell, for back-to-back 9-7 seasons and have an overall winning record. And Patricia was brought in here and now has to rebuild, but take the Lions to the next level. So 8-8 is not good enough. If he matches the 9-7, gets to the playoff, and win a playoff game, he'll stay. But 8-8 is not good enough. They should be fired.
All right, I'm going to say hell yeah. And the reason why, 8-8 just might get the Lions in the playoff this year with that extra playoff slot. So
if it does, we win, I'll go for that too.
I think it may. I know a lot of Lions fans, and I'm one of those. I will raise my hand and say that I think it's time for the Quinn Trisha era to end. But let's move on. Next, the Panthers will not have a sack versus Detroit on Sunday. Hell yeah or hell nah.
They won't have a sack, you say?
They will not. The Panthers will not sack Matthew Stafford or Chase Daniel or whoever's playing on Sunday.
It's not going to play because Stafford's going to be playing. But I'm going to say hell yeah, you know, they won't get a sack, that is. Mm-hmm. So I like our chances. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, especially if the Lions run the ball 80% of the time, mm-hmm. which with some I posted that they should do, because I recall a part of Detroit. So I'm going to say hell no, Carolina will not get a quarterback back on Matthew.
Okay, I'm going to say hell no. Nah. I think they will get a sack. I think they'll get one. Derek Brown's actually playing really, really well over there. And then Brian Burns is over there as well. He's playing exceptionally well over there on that Panthers front seven. So it's a possibility. So I would say hell yeah. I think they may get one if they get like this, like the Washington football team. So I think that they may get one this week coming up. All right, last one. The Lions can finish second in the NFC North. Hell yeah or hell no?
Hell yeah, if things go right, they can win a Green Bay stumbles. It's possible. I mean, okay, we better win these next two games.
Mm-hmm.
6-5 after, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, by the time Thanksgiving's over with.
And
we 6-5. Chicago's winning. We got a chance to win that, you know. What's that thing on that quarterback? The quarterback got hurt for the Bears.
Nick Foles has a hip pointer. They say it's not as serious as it looked on the field on Monday Night Football, but and then he said he's not scheduled to miss any significant time.
Okay, but we still got a chance because he wasn't supposed to be playing. The mm-hmm. Bears lost four straight.
Yeah.
So basically, the Lions could have get them on the mm-hmm. sixth, you know, revenge game for that, how they lost on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Now it gets tougher as they finish with the Bucks, the Vikings, the Pack, and the Titans.
Yeah,
but we gotta put a big boy pants on. We won't be taken seriously.
Yep.
We gotta beat those good teams. Just can't beat bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
We should beat the bad teams. We gotta beat some good teams too. So this was Stafford and Griffin and Flowers and the rest will really earn their money. So I got faith in my boy. So let's see.
All right, that was hell yeah or hell nah for this week. One thing that Shawnee J wanted mentioned, he wanted to talk about this week, is Kelly Stafford. So in her recent comments today is Thursday when we shoot the Die Hard Den podcast. Shawnee J, take it away.
Well, I just found out about this evening. Somebody posted in our group about Kelly Stafford. You know, someone said she should keep her mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know he was talking about, so I Googled Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw she made some comments on her Twitter page or Instagram, whatever it was.
Instagram, yeah.
About, you know, the COVID situation and Gretchen Whitmer mm-hmm. once again putting the state in lockdown. Kelly basically said she's tired, she's over Michigan and their dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And the word dictatorship, you know, it's
yeah.
a strong word. People look for keywords like that, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of hot button words. The mm-hmm. word dictatorship. You know, I think that's the thing that pissed a lot of people off. Some
mm-hmm.
may agree, you know, like especially remember the last spring, all those people who went up to Michigan to the state capitol and protested and brought their
yeah.
rifles and AR-15s.
Ridiculous.
And yes. I mean, the governor, she's in the highest position. She's
mm-hmm.
trying to, you know, so many people been getting sick and dying from this disease still. Yet people don't wanna lock down.
Mm-hmm.
People wanna live their life like normal. But living life like normal is what's getting them killed. So what's the governor gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to be in their shoes right now.
Yeah.
He's in the hospital. Can't satisfy people.
Mm-hmm.
Can't satisfy anybody. But Kelly, once again, she one of those loud mouth ballers' wives, you know, like Nico Brown or something like that.
Well, I will say this, and I will give Kelly Stafford some reprieve here. She's had a difficult couple of weeks, and I think it really stems from the NFL's COVID. So she couldn't. She had a situation that happened with her daughter, you know, that she got hurt, and it just happened right before the Minnesota game where she had a concussion. And it was a tough couple of weeks for Kelly. And she came back and apologized for her words, her choice of words. I just think she's overall just kind of frustrated. But to Governor Whitmer's, and I don't live in the state of Michigan anymore, but to give her some reprieve as well. She's doing the best she can in a terrible situation, and she's trying to keep the citizens of Michigan safe. It's not a political thing, because people will always say it's always political because it's a politician, but it is a public safety thing. She wants to keep her citizens of her state that she is the governor of safe. I've never politicized COVID because it's not a political issue. It's a public safety issue. You have millions and millions of people have been tested positive, and you have over a quarter of a million Americans have died. This is the more people have died of COVID than they have died in wars in the last 10 months. So she's doing the best she can in a bad situation where she's not getting a lot of direction from the federal government. So she's doing the best she can, and a lot of the governors are. So hopefully we can get this thing and do what the scientists say to get this thing under control. And hopefully we can get back to some sense of normalcy soon. We have some promising things with a couple of drug companies, Pfizer being one of them, with their vaccine that maybe they're coming out here in the next couple of months. So in the new year. So, but Kelly Stafford, she's just frustrated, man. And I can give her some leeway, you know, some benefit of the doubt, because I just think that she's frustrated with her current situation, which isn't everyone's. She has a friend of hers, she said, who's losing her business because of the lockdown. And there's no federal aid going to those small businesses anymore. There's no deals being made to help those people keep their businesses open. And that's what's going on with that. So I can understand her frustration with the lockdown, but you have to understand that there's other factors to why these businesses aren't shutting down, because the federal government is not helping right now.
Let me ask you quick, how's the governor of North Carolina handling this situation?
We're going on a lockdown soon ourselves. We have higher elevation levels here in North Carolina. So we're going backwards in some counties right now. We got to go back on lockdown because of the rates that are rising here in the state of North Carolina as well. So, but Governor Cooper is doing the best he can with what he has. You have to realize that a lot of these states, some of these states are dealing with state legislatures, and they can put out guidance, but sometimes the local governments kind of override what the state puts out as well. So, I mean, that's just what it is. So, all right, man, let's get back to the Lions and the Carolina Panthers, who will be where I live on Sunday. And due to COVID restrictions for myself, personal ones, because of my pre-existing conditions, I unfortunately will not be able to attend. Boy, I wish I was able to, because the Rona got everyone on lockdown around my house. So let's look at the Lions final practice report for Thursday. Let's go through this. Danny Amendola and Kenny Galladay both out. No practice. Galladay practiced a little bit yesterday. They said he did a little workout today, but, you know, he was officially listed as no practice with his hip. DeAndre Swift is being evaluated for a concussion. I'm not sure that he is in the concussion protocol. They're just saying he's been evaluated. If he's in the concussion protocol, he will have to practice tomorrow and go through the walkthrough on Saturday to be cleared to play in the game on Sunday. Austin Bryant was limited today with a thigh injury. He returned. Jarrett Davis has a knee issue. Limited both Wednesday and Thursday. Hockenson limited with that toe, but, you know, he's a tough fella. Christian Jones, knee, limited both days. Marvin Jones had a knee injury. He was out on Wednesday but came back today. Jayron Kearse had an ankle injury, was out yesterday and came back today. Of course, Matthew Stafford was out yesterday with that right thumb injury. Was back on the field today. He threw about 9 passes during the warm-ups and things. But he looked like he was on par. Big V, Vitae, he had that foot injury still. Limited both days, Wednesday and Thursday. Nick Williams with that shoulder was limited yesterday and full practice today. And here is a name that I will hopefully will come back soon. Your boy Jamal Agnew with those ribs was a full practice on Wednesday and Thursday. So I hope we get our return specialist back. All right, looking at the Lions versus the Panthers, the Lions really, and the Vegas hasn't changed the line yet on this game. They are 1.5-point underdogs coming into the game versus the Panthers in Charlotte on Sunday. Now, statistically speaking, the Lions have a better offense, and the Panthers have a better defense as far as yards and points given up per game. Lucas is going to be another game of strength on strength for this game. Looks like my man Teddy Two Gloves down here in Carolina will not be playing. Christian McCaffrey is already on the shelf. He's been ruled out for this game. And Swift is really unknown. Do I think we need him? I think we could use him, but I think we don't necessarily have to have him to win this game. He must, like I said, he must practice tomorrow and go through the walkthrough on Saturday to get into the game on Sunday. What are your thoughts of what are the keys to the victory for the Lions against the Panthers on Sunday?
The big key, if take advantage of your breaks, is if either Bridgewater or McCaffrey can play, it's a big break. Take advantage of your break, because I don't wish no one gets hurt, but still, football's still breaks. And we had taken advantage of no one felt, like I said, I posted in the group, the Panthers didn't feel sorry for us in 2008. They were the things that beat us, and I won the season. And they gave us lost the rural loss number 24 during the 2004 season, you know, record loss in a row, didn't feel sorry for us. So, you know, football is a ruthless sport, and this time it's got to be ruthless back, even though I don't wish someone gets hurt. At the same time, the two backups, you can't take these guys lightly, because
Matt Brown, you know how that is. That Brown character, that Brown backup running back, that dude is good.
Yes, he wish McCaffrey was almost playing. So you can't take him lightly, because, you know, Lions sometimes have a history of making unknowns heroes, you know, give like it, put their name out there, make their name for themselves. We got to avoid that. So don't take a backup lightly. Go be aggressive still on defense. Go after the backup quarterback. Rush them, blitz them, frustrate them, same way you did, you know, Jacksonville game. I keep going back to that Jacksonville game. The defense looked awesome. I mean, after the bye, you know, they lost to New Orleans, and we were reeling. And people, the fans, were saying, oh, here we go again. Let's just quit. Let's just tank. Let's just tank the Patricia Fire and get a high draft pick. No, I hate that kind of talk. You know, I hate those kind of people, too. I'm sorry. You know, if you don't like Matt Patricia, you still want to cheer for the Lions to win because don't, I don't care who the coach is. You don't root against your team if you're your team to lose just because you want to see the coach get fired, even though you don't like the coach. And a lot of people don't like Patricia, but I still want to see the Lions win in spite of Patricia.
All right.
So go Lions.
What's the score, brother?
What's the score? It may not be a blowout, but I think the Lions will win. I'm going to go Lions 28, Panthers 21.
Okay. All right. So my keys to the game, pretty much similar to yours. Keep the foot on the gas on offense and defense. Pressure the young quarterback coming in, inexperienced young fella. And make sure you pay attention to those wide receivers in Carolina. They are some yak kings. You got Moore, who used to play running back. He is a yak monster. So you have to wrap up and tackle those guys here in Carolina, because they will definitely run away from you if you don't get them on the ground. So I have the Lions winning this game as well. I have them winning a little bit more. I got them scoring 33 again this week. I will say 33-24 Lions on Sunday. All right.
I'll go for that.
Yeah. All right. Now it's time for us to go ahead and close the show out. Let's get on out of here. But before we do, again, thank you for watching on YouTube, on Facebook. As always, like the video, hit the share button, give us some comments on the video. You know, let us know how we're doing. Let us know what content you want to see from us right here on the Die Hard Den podcast. And subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Follow our Facebook page. Ring the notification bell on YouTube so you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Den podcast. And as always, Shiny J will hook you up with all the good Lions info over on our Facebook page. And if you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, we appreciate your download. Thank you very much. And if you have an Alexa powered device, say, hey, Alexa, play the Die Hard Den podcast, followed by your favorite podcast platform, and Alexa will hook you up and play our content right there on your Echo device from Amazon. So, Shawnee J, let the people know how they can find you on social media.
I use mainly on Facebook. You can find me. My name is Sean Jennings. You see my profile pic. You can send me requests to, you know, join our Detroit Lions Jewels fan group. I'm an administrator. Also, as Curtis says, I do a good job keeping you up to date on our public page, the Die Hard Den page on Facebook. So I would love to add you. I keep you well the best Lions news so that you can find me.
All right. And, of course, you can find your man, Curtis Steele, over on Twitter and Instagram at Curtis Steele 14. You can follow the show on Twitter as well at DieHardDenPodC1. You definitely can follow us over on Instagram at Die_Hard_Den_podcast. If you want to send us an email, you can email us at DieHardDenPodcast@gmail.com. Shawnee J, what's your parting shots for the people this week?
Well, people, as you see, this COVID ain't going nowhere. It's getting worse, if you can believe it or not. You know, states are locking down again, so be safe. We want to live with this, you know, beat this thing. You got to be safe, be smart, keep social distancing, keep those hands clean, and be smart, people.
All right, yes, be smart, wear your mask, social distance, and just be safe out there, people. We want to see you in the new year, and hopefully we can get this vaccine and get some people and save some lives going forward. All right, for it's one thing, again, happy belated Veterans Day to my brothers and sisters in uniform. I wear my Salute to Service cap all month. If you watch me on my other platform over on Detroit Lions on the Prowl, I wear a different Lions Salute to Service cap for this whole month. And I will continue to wear one to salute my brothers and sisters in arms. Thank you for your service. We really appreciate what you did for this country. And please do me a favor for you, for me. Whatever you do in life, you got to boss up, ball out, and be the best version of you that you can be. For my man, Shawnee J, this is Kurt Steele of the Die Hard Den Podcast, and we will holler at you real soon.